when we study the Old Testament, it's important that we study the customs of the day. Some of the customs of that day seem strange to us today. It's also important to know that some of the words they used have a totally different meaning than today. Some of you may have seen or heard of the four candles, a sketch from the BBC comedy show The Two Ronnies. First broadcast the 18th of September, and I do remember this, 1976. You were too young to remember, Claire. Just over 47 years ago. Well, I was going to show it, but as you know, we haven't got a projector working at the moment, so I'm going to go through a script. A lady exits the shop, and a shopkeeper is then approached by a customer who is holding a shopping list. The customer then requests what sounds like four candles. The shopkeeper then takes out four candles, but the customer merely repeats the request, and the shopkeeper is confused. The customer rephrases his request to reveal, in fact, he wanted four candles for his forks. He then asks for plugs. To try to avoid a similar mistake, the shopkeeper asks what kind, and is told a rubber one for the bathroom. Believing that he's asking for rubber bath plugs, the shopkeeper gets out a box of them and asks for what size, sir. The customer's answer is 13 amp, revealing he in fact wants an insulated electric plug. He then asks for a hose. This item causes the most frustration when the shopkeeper bringing a garden hoe and then a hose to the counter before working out that what he wants was a letter O for his garden gate. The box of garden gate letters is difficult to get to actually put back, requiring a ladder. When he asks for P's, the shopkeeper, believing him to be asking for the letter P for a garden gate, is understandably annoyed as they are in the box he's just put back. The customer waits for him to get the box down again before explaining what he really wants is a tin of peas. When we come to the book of Ruth, the wording and customs might sound a bit strange to us. So let's look into the times in which Ruth and Boaz lived. The key thought in the first two chapters of Ruth was finding grace. The key thought in the last two chapters is finding rest. Notice Ruth chapter 1 verse 1. Shall I not seek rest for thee, in the King James Version? In the New King James Version it says, shall I not seek security for you? The word refers to marriage. It's talking about finding Ruth, a husband, at a home. Other translations put the verses like this. My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you? Where you will be provided for? The NIV. And in the Living Bible, it says, my dear, isn't it time that I try to find a husband for you and get you happily married again? So what was the plan for marriage? Well, again, in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, did you notice it was Ruth's mother-in-law who wanted to find Ruth a husband. Ruth didn't want to. She wasn't looking for a husband. But Naomi wanted a husband for her. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I would want my late mother picking out a spouse for me. But there's a way it was done in that day. And in today, in some parts of the world, that custom still exists. Naomi's plan was for Ruth to marry Boaz. It was clear to Naomi that Boaz was interested in Ruth, and that Ruth was interested in Boaz. Not only that Boaz was a near kinsman, and according to the law, Boaz could redeem Ruth and land of Elimelech's wife. Also, marriage for Ruth would bring status. The blame of not having children, security, protection from harm and substance, provisions for her. Now, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 2, Naomi tells Ruth that she knows where Boaz will be that night. He'll be sorting out the grain on the threshing floor. Threshing floors are usually on a huge hill. They usually have rock floors. Donkeys or oxen would crush the grain. They would remove the husk and sort out the grain. They would put the grain on a sieve, throw it into the air, and let the wind separate the grain from the chaff. That's your harvest message there. Naomi said to Ruth, Boaz will be in a good mood tonight. It was a wonderful crop this year. When he has finished his work, we have a great meal and lie down to rest. Then the time will be just right for you to make your move. Naomi knew what kind of man Boaz was, and Ruth would be blessed to have him as her husband. Isn't that right, Bill? Thank you. Why? First of all, Boaz had the right reputation. He displayed compassion, wisdom, grace in his dealings with Ruth. He cared about Ruth in spite of her past, in spite of what the community thought about her, or in spite of what she could offer him. Secondly, Boaz had the right relationship. Boaz was a kinsman, or a guardian redeemer, and had the right of redemption. He could make a real difference in Ruth's life. Thirdly, Boaz had the right resources. He was a mighty man of wealth and could afford to pay the price to redeem Ruth. And fourthly, Boaz had the right to resolve. The right to resolve. Boaz gave every indication that he was interested in the relationship with Ruth. He gave to her freely. He was kind, compassionate towards her. He gave her standing invitation to enter and glean in his fields. Next, the preparation for marriage. Ruth chapter 3, 3-5. To this point, Ruth's relationship with Boaz has been that of a servant and master. If the relationship is to progress where it is at the present, the next move belongs to Ruth. She had to make preparation to let Boaz know that she was interested in marriage. Naomi told Ruth what to do to act like a bride preparing for her wedding. Ruth was to mark or to pay attention to where Boaz lay. He would lie down by his grain to protect it from being stolen. In quietness, Ruth was to lie at the feet of Boaz, which meant that she would like to be his wife if she pleased him. Then the proposal of marriage, verses 7-9. Ruth waits until Boaz is asleep and has covered his feet with his robe. Then quietly and cautiously, so as not to disturb neither Boaz or other people, she lies down at his feet and with the corner of her robe covers his face or her face, which literally was a proposal of marriage. Boaz wakes up and there is a woman at his feet. He said, Who are you? And Ruth answers, I am Ruth, your handmaid. Her answer reveals a new beginning in her life. She comes to humbly ask, Would you take me to be your wife? Now Ruth asked Boaz to spread his garment over her, which indicated a covering and protection for her as his wife. Then she says, For you are a guardian redeemer. In other words, you have a right to marry me under the law. After that, the promise of marriage, verses 10-11. Boaz calls Ruth my daughter twice in these verses. It would be like a boy calling a girl honey or sweetheart. Romance is alive. Boaz says, You have shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. You didn't follow the young men, whether rich or poor. Boaz belonged to the same time as Elimelech, which meant that Boaz was about 20 years older than Ruth. But she chose Boaz because he was a relative over the young men. Her choice was made on character and spirituality. And that's what we need to do when we thought getting into relationships or whatever. We need to look for someone's character and spirituality. Are they loving God? Do they follow God? I wouldn't marry Pearl unless she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe that's what it was all about. It was having a relationship with God. It was having a relationship that we could do things together. Or else if we're two opposites, it's very difficult to come together. So we need to really ask ourselves, if we get involved in relationships, why? Are we getting involved because it's the spiritual side of the person, or is it the physical side? I believe it should be the character and the spirituality. Now, but there are more to the story that meets the eye. Another man is in the story, but you'll have to come back next week to see what happens. I think Tim is doing that, so I'm not going to go there. What a beautiful romance of redemption. It's a beautiful picture of our redemption. Jesus wants to accept us, shower his love and affection on us, but we must come to the foot of the cross and let his blood cover us and forgive us and let him spread his wing of protection over us. As we get into Ruth 3, let me make you aware of a provision that God made for his people, the Jews. It is a provision that we don't often see in Scripture, but we actually see it in Ruth. God promised his people two things. They would always be his people, and still are, and that the land of Israel would always be theirs, and still is. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Then when Joshua divided up the land, each tribe got his portion of the land. It was a gift from God. They were not to sell the land except in the case of a real emergency, and even then it was to be returned in the year of Jubilee. If a man lost his land because of some disaster or some kind of loss of crops, it must be returned to the man in the 50th year, or it would be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer or a ghoul, which was then next of kin in that time. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 10 says that a single brother could marry his brother's widow in order to provide the dead man who died childless with an heir. That way, they could keep the property in the family by passing it on to their son. Three things were required to perform the rite of a redeemer. Firstly, they must be the right to redeem. He had to be near to kin. What does that have to do with us? God created us. We are his creation. But when Adam sinned, Satan claimed Adam. Every person born takes on Adam's sinful nature. Can you see that in the world today? Can you see sin in the world today? We're not getting any better as human beings. We're getting worse. Every person born takes on Adam's sinful nature. God created us, but because of sin, Satan claims us. But wait a minute. Jesus loves us, and he has redeemed us because he is our Savior. That's why he came, to save us from sin, to save us from eternal destruction, to redeem us and bring us back to God. In John 1:14 says that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 18 says that Jesus shared the same flesh as we have to become our Redeemer. He had to become like us. He had to relate to us. And that's why he was born in a manger. He came down from the glory and the riches of heaven. He came all the way down to become a human being so he could relate to us, so he could save us on the cross. In order to redeem us, the one who partook of our flesh had to carry a cross up to Calvary and die on it, there accepting our sins as his own and dying our death. At the manger, Jesus was made in the likeness of man. I've just mentioned that. Philippians 2, verse 7. But on the cross, he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He became sin to pay for our sins, to give us forgiveness. He took our sin upon himself. Romans 8, verse 3. There must be resources to redeem, secondly. We must have the ability to pay the price. Redemption's price could not be paid with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And you can read that in 1 Peter 1. And thirdly, there must be a will to redeem. We see all these things in Boaz and in Jesus. So a quick recap, in case you've forgotten what we're talking about. We have seen a family move away from God. After three members of the family died in Moab, Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem. We find out that things got so bad for Ruth and Naomi that Naomi had to sell part of her land. Then Ruth goes to glean in the field of Boaz. Boaz takes notice of Ruth, and Naomi knows Boaz is her guardian redeemer. Now this mother-in-law wants Ruth to ask Boaz to marry her. Naomi tells Ruth to go to Boaz, but before she does, she is to wash up, put on some perfume, put on the best dress, and go down to the threshing floor where Boaz is, and to lie at the feet of Boaz in submission. Ruth does so, and at midnight, Boaz wakes up and knows someone is at his feet. He asks, "Who are you?" She tells Boaz that she is Ruth. The romance is growing between Boaz and Ruth. He gives Ruth three things to show that he is in love with her. Firstly, Boaz prays of Ruth, verses 10 to 11. Now you speak to someone, how you speak to someone shows whether you respect them or not. Boaz is kind and gentle to Ruth. He affirms her, and his speech and words show her respect. When you're in love, you speak to each other in loving, gentle, kind words and tones. Things do change after you get married, though. Number two, Boaz's respect towards Ruth. Verse 12. Boaz was honest and truthful with Ruth. He loved her and wanted to marry her, but he knew there was another redeemer, another kinsman closer than he was. And I think that's what makes a good relationship, isn't it? Honesty and truthfulness. I had to be truthful to Pearl the other day. I didn't want to be. I threw up some old rubbish, and I didn't realise that Pearl wanted some of that rubbish. I could have said, I don't know where it went to. It's gone now, but I had to sort of know how to tell her. I threw out some old cassettes and things. She might have achieved one sort of book. But there are times we're not always honest with our partners or whatever, or our friends. But I think we do need to be honest, as Boaz was. He was honest to Ruth because he respected her. And I think we should respect each other as well. I know sometimes we could be a pain in the backside, but I know that some of us are loving and caring people. Yes, we do criticise. Yes, we do have a go at so-and-so. Probably Alistair takes a lot of criticism sometimes, but also some praise as well. We all go through criticism and praise, but we should respect each other because God respects us. And that's why he sent his son. It's not going to stop us from criticising. We're still going to do it. Tomorrow, you'll still be back there on the flying go. But I feel sad that sometimes we show little respect to members of the church who love and want to serve the Lord Jesus. None of us are perfect. You cast the first stone if you think you're so perfect, if you think you know everything. I know nothing. I try. I know nothing. And I know there is sin in me. And I know it's by grace I've been saved. Amen. Boaz could have thought, I love her. And I want to marry her. This other man doesn't even know she exists. Hey, what's the problem? I can marry her if he does find out about it later. Then he's a near king. Well, it's too late. I don't have to tell him. But he was an honest man. He wanted to do things right. And we need to be honest with God and do what's right with God. And say, well, if I do it now, it doesn't really matter. You know, God will forgive. God will, you know, it won't matter. But I think it's important that we are honest, not with others, as well as others. And that's sometimes very hard to do, to be honest. My goodness me, it's hard. But we should be honest with God. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. And Boaz knew what he had to do. Honourable. Do the honourable thing. I wish some of our politicians could do honourable things. But some of them don't. And I could go on, but I'm not going to. But Boaz puts integrity and God's law above his own personal interests. Shouldn't that what we be doing? Putting God before our own personal interests. He would rather have no marriage at all than to have a tainted marriage. He loved Ruth so much. He could have married her then on the spot. But integrity, honesty. He didn't want a marriage that was going to be tainted. He wanted it to do right. And we need sometimes to do the right things too. Thirdly, Boaz's protection of Ruth. In 13 to 14, verses 13 to 14, Boaz didn't send Ruth home in the middle of the night alone. He wanted to keep her safe. But both he and she were concerned with her reputation. She went home before it was good daylight, so no one could identify her and start some rumor or gossip. Boaz wanted to protect her, and God wants to protect us. And yes, I know we make mistakes. And yes, I know sometimes we don't ask for God's protection. But God wants to protect us as Boaz wants to protect Ruth. Sometimes we just tend to go astray. But we can come back. We can ask God for his forgiveness and his love. Now, do you notice in Luke chapter 3, verse 14, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. They took care to conduct themselves above reproach in the area of their romance. Their romance was not something for public display or discussion. I think that's what we should be doing. We should be in that position as well. We shouldn't be doing things in public that we shouldn't be doing. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not telling you how to conduct yourselves. But I think we have to be very careful. We don't always give the wrong impression. The man was something for public display or discussion. He kept it a secret. He kept it that way because he didn't want any gossip or anything. And sometimes we need to do the same thing. Be careful what we do. It's not about marriage now, it's about what ours as Christians. Be careful how people see you. Don't let them gossip about you. Or give them a threshold or give them an inch to find something. We have got to be above reproach. And we can only do it not by ourselves because we will fail, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. We also read that Boaz gave Ruth rewards. Verses 15 and 17. Someone has said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Boaz gave Ruth 6 measures of barley, about 50 pounds or 23 kilograms of grain that was already prepared. Now notice in Ruth 3:17, when you start sending gifts to your mother-in-law, you know you're in love. You know there must be something special going on. And again, we look at verses 11 to 13. Boaz says, Ruth, I want to redeem you. I want to marry you. But there's a problem. There's someone who is more closely related than I, but I want you to know that I will talk to him and I will do all in my power to act as your guardian redeemer. Boaz was committed to Ruth and he made his commitment to her. What a wonderful husband he would make. And she may make a wonderful wife. They do. Because then the line of Jesus comes through the line of Ruth. If you read the book of Matthew, genealogy, you see Ruth is mentioned. It was a marriage made in heaven. It's marriage that God wanted. Notice Ruth chapter 3, 16 to 18. When Ruth reaches home, Naomi wants to know how things went. In other words, is there going to be a wedding? Ruth just says, look at the provisions he has given me and tell me what you think. Naomi says, Ruth, just sit tight because Boaz will not rest until he has settled this matter today. You see, our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus, loves us. He will do all he can to make his love known to us. If you are lost, Jesus, God's Son, loves you so much that he became a man, God in the flesh, to pay the price of redemption, of salvation for you. So Jesus is our guardian redeemer, you could say. He is our redeemer. He is our Saviour, just as Boaz was in the time of Ruth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise your name that we can trust our future in your safekeeping, knowing that your love surrounds us and that your grace is enough, no matter how difficult the circumstances of life may appear. Thank you, Lord, that you hold the world in the palm of your hand and nothing can snatch us from the safe place we have in you. Amen.